Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Colerain, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome to the First Baptist Church here in the hills of Massachusetts. A little old village called Colerain. Appreciate everyone that tunes in, listens, wherever you are. Appreciate that. Keep on tuning in. Hope you get a blessing from today's message. Today is Pentecost Sunday. We're going to learn all about that and what that means. And in order to get filled in on the facts of what happened that fateful day, the beginning of the Church of the Living God, we're going to read 21 verses of Acts chapter 2. Read, Joe.
Good morning. I'm going to be on page 1692 in the Bible in the pew. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and all parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we all hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Praise God for his word.
Thank you very much. So I'll start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we're thankful to be here. We just pray that you'll speak to us through this message and build up the Church of the Living God and save those that need to be saved. May we be tuned in and not be distracted. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message is The Day of Pentecost. Today is Sunday, as you know, but not just any Sunday, because today is Pentecost Sunday, the day we should never forget as Christians, that changed the course of history, when the church was first established, before this happened, there was no church. They were Old Testament saints, but the church began at the day of Pentecost. The word Pentecost means 50. The Jews, people of Israel, Pentecost is remembered as the day that Moses received the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai, 50 days after the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. So that's significant for the Jews, 50 days after God gave the commandments, the law, to Moses. Okay, but for Christians, Pentecost means something more significant. Refers to the coming down of the Holy Spirit when he came down on devout Jews that were assembled there that day in an upper room, a very large upper room, 50 days after Easter, which is recorded in the book of Acts that we read this morning, or we heard this morning. Pentecost was the day when the Apostle Peter preached a sermon and said, partially, "For the promise is to you and to your children, and this will include us here, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Aren't you glad? Aren't you praising the Lord that you were called by the Lord Jesus Christ and saved? Amen? Okay, 3,000 Jews, religious, devout Jews, were saved through that preaching of the gospel later on. But initially, there were 120 followers, which included the apostles, gathered together in the upper room. They were told to do that by Jesus. He promised his disciples in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit would come. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," because he always told the truth, amen, "it is to your advantage that I go away." What's he talking about? He was going to be crucified and die, yet rise again from the dead. "It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." The Helper is the Holy Spirit. "But if I depart, I will send him to you." The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is God. "I will send him to you, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Who's that? Satan. The ruler of this world is judged. He's defeated. He's a defeated foe. Amen? Amen? In accomplishing the work of convicting people of sin, righteousness, and judgment, the Holy Spirit comes into an individual and is saved from condemnation, having received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I ask you, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you haven't, then you're under condemnation. You're under a death sentence. So you need to be saved, you need to be born again, you need to be made alive spiritually. And the only way you can do that is by the grace of God, believing what Jesus did for you that you couldn't do for yourself. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, "And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Ephesians 2, 13, 14. In him you also trusted. You didn't become a Christian by doing good deeds or good works or anything else. You trusted. After you heard the word of truth. What's that? The gospel. Amen? You have to hear the gospel in order to be saved. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus gave to his disciples, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise and glory of God. So we are saved, we are sealed, and nobody can break that seal. Amen? The Old Testament prophet Joel foretold the coming of the Holy Spirit 800 years before it happened on the day of Pentecost. And he said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants, on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." So in this sermon on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter confirmed that the events of that day were the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel 800 years earlier. Amen? Jesus told his disciples to expect the Holy Spirit to come. He forewarned them. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." So they didn't have power before. They had to have the Holy Spirit. "And you shall be witnesses to me," starting in Jerusalem. That's where the Holy Spirit came down for the first time. Amen? "And then all Judea and in Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth." That is being fulfilled now. The gospel, we're living in the gospel of grace, the dispensation of grace. And God is pouring out his Holy Spirit on those that believe in him around the world, no matter what color they are, what creed, what nation, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. He died for us, didn't he? We're his children. We're his adopted children. We are sealed. No one can break that seal. Amen. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We know that the first Pentecostal Sunday happened, like I said, in Jerusalem in an upper room. It was a large upper room. It had to be. It had to contain 120 people. That included the apostles. And Jesus had many followers. He had many disciples, not just the select 12. And one of them committed suicide, as we know. 120 followers, Jewish followers that were believers in Jesus Christ, gathered together. And what happened? There was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house, the upper room where they were. It's not surprising that this wind, it's symbolic. It symbolizes God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus once said to a Jewish Pharisee named Nicodemus, elderly Pharisee, knew all about the law, came to Jesus at night, undercover, trying to find out who Jesus was, Nicodemus. And then Jesus said, he just cut right to the chase. Didn't waste words, didn't mince words, did Jesus. Most assuredly, he said to Nicodemus, unless you are born of water and of the Spirit, capital S, talking about the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And that's what I'm saying to you now, those that are listening, those that are watching. You must be born again if you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to enter the kingdom of God. And who doesn't? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. Where are you going to go when you leave this world? You must be born again. And Jesus goes on. We're talking about the wind, wasn't he? The wind symbolizes God, the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Jesus said. The wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it. Remember, there was a mighty rushing sound. But you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You don't see the wind, but you see the evidence of the wind. You see the evidence of the Holy Spirit. People should see the evidence of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? Does he? Do they? I hope so. We want to attract people. We don't want to repel them, do we? Those 120 devout Jews were gathered in the upper room. They not only heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind that filled the place, they also saw something miraculous. And it's never happened before. It'll never happen again. What was it? There appeared to them tongues spreading out like fire, and one sat on each one of them. So the 120 that were gathered in that room, tongues of fire came down and settled on them. Again, that fire, it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. It symbolizes the coming for the first time of the Holy Spirit on human beings. John the Baptist, hold that point, that thought. Fire, symbolic of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He's talking about H2O. But he who is coming after me, referring to Jesus, is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And fire. And it happened on the day of Pentecost. So there's another prophecy of John, the greatest prophet who was ever born, Jesus said. So what happened next? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They all began to speak in other tongues. Now, when it's talking about tongues, it's referring to different languages. Tongues is languages. You got that? They all began to speak in other tongues. You've got to remember, these people, the 120 devout Jews, the followers of Jesus, including the apostles, they were all Galileans. They were all from the region of Galilee. All right? They'd never learned a foreign language. All right? So it's a miraculous thing that happened. They began to speak in other tongues, in other languages. And the Spirit makes the Holy Bible makes it clear that these were not unknown tongues. It wasn't gobbledygook, whatever that means. They were not unknown tongues or unknown languages. They were earthly languages, but they didn't know what they were talking about. It was a miraculous event. They just did it. So those 120 followers, they spoke in languages that were unknown to them. They were Galileans. but it was known and understood by those people that heard them speaking in their own languages, in their own language. In Jerusalem that day, let's read it again. Those who heard and what they heard, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Right? Every nation under heaven at that time, in the then known world, that all gathered together in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, all right? And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, was confused, because everyone heard them, the 120 Galileans, speak in his own language. And they were all amazed, wouldn't you be? And marveled, saying one to another, "Look, are not all those who speak Galileans? How come we can hear them speak in our own language?" That's my translation. Saying to one another, "Look, are they not all Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia," that's in Africa, by the way, Ethiopia, as we know it now. The Jews were scattered all over the world. Still are. One day they're going to be, come back together to, again. It's happening. Adjoining Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, they're people, the Gentiles that became Jews, Cretans, people from Crete, and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues. They're all Jews, speaking in our own language, the wonderful works of God. So it's a miraculous event. This happened so they could wait and hear, not only to be saved, but also to spread the gospel. Having heard Peter preach the gospel, 3,000 people, devout religious Jews, gathered in Jerusalem that day, became believers, became Christians. The church started out as those Jewish people. And they went out eventually and spread the gospel wherever they went to the then known world. All those countries that we just talked about. Then Peter preached to them. What did he say? Partially. I haven't got time to read the whole thing. He said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are baptized into Christ. You are baptized by the Holy Spirit. That is the gift. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't ask for it. It was a gift that God gave to us. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are far off," that includes us, "as many as the Lord our God will call." Is God calling you to be saved this morning? He's calling you, but are you listening? Are you going to respond or not? He's calling. He's calling through the preaching of the Word of God. And I hope you're listening, and I hope you will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So that was the miracle of Pentecost. 3,000 souls were saved, having heard the gospel preached through the Apostle Peter in their own language. This event was the beginning of the church. Before this, there was no church. All right? After Pentecost happened, those Christians continued in the apostles' doctrine or their teaching. They followed the apostles' teaching. The apostles were with them and they taught them. In fellowship, that's what we do. That's one reason we come to church. We fellowship with believers, amen. And in the breaking of bread, which is sharing communion together. We've been doing that. Well, I'm not that old, for over 2,000 years. That's what we do. We fellowship. We believe in the apostles' teaching, which we follow. Amen. New Testament church. And we break bread together and in prayers. That's what they did. That's what we do. We've been doing that ever since. But the church began on Pentecost. There was no church prior to Pentecost. Yes, they were Old Testament saints, but that's different altogether. This is a Pentecostal experience, the beginning of the New Testament church. And the power of a personal Pentecost is still available today in this church age in which we live. Now, it's available to each one of us. Thank God, amen. Otherwise, we'd be lost. We'd be totally lost on the highway to hell. That's where we were. And if you're not saved, that's where you are. You're on a highway to hell, but you don't have to go there. And Jesus paid the price and took the punishment that you deserve, so you don't have to go to hell. Do you believe it? Whether you believe it or not, he did it. He did it. And those of us that have received him know it. We know it. Do you know it? If you know it, say amen. Amen. Right. Thank you. Jesus said, he said, amongst many things, if you then, being evil, what, me? Well, I'm a good person. Really? You ever told a lie? That's enough to keep you out of heaven. You then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? You've got to ask him. Have you asked him to save you? There's a promise from Jesus, who could never lie. Have you ever asked him? You know, before, I'm about to close, before we became Christians, we didn't ask the Holy Spirit to come and convict us of sin, did we? Our conviction of sin was a divine act of God before we were born again. We were convicted of our sin, made aware of how sinful we are and our need for a Savior who was without sin. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. We didn't have to ask the Holy Spirit to come and seal us until the day of redemption. That's something God did when we received him as our personal Savior, right? It was God that did it for us to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We must be born again. And then we are accepted by God. We're adopted into his family. And we are then equipped to be used in his royal service. And many, regardless of who you are, if you're a Christian, you have been equipped to be used in his royal service. What are you doing as a servant of the living God in his royal service? What are you doing? We need to redeem the time, because the days are evil. Let's use our gifts, our talents, our abilities to serve the living God, and then we'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded on earth, because there's nothing better, there's nothing more satisfactory than serving the living God. It's the greatest thing. And not only that, he rewards us when we get to heaven. And he blesses us while we're doing these things, whatever it is, on earth. And if you can't do anything, at least you can share your faith. You don't hide it under a basket. You share your faith so others can hear and believe like we did. Let's do it. Let's redeem the time because we don't have a lot of time left. You're going about doing your business, but what about doing the Lord's business? Amen? That's what we need to do. We could be taken out, and we will be one day. Let's do it. Let's get about his business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And he accomplished what he set out to do. And then he said, it is finished. It is finished. He did it. He had a task and he accomplished it until the day he died. 120 followers of Jesus, baptized by the Holy Spirit. What did they do? And the 3,000 that were saved, they shared their faith. Multitudes of Jewish people were saved that day, on that fateful day. 3,000 devout Jews who all came to Jerusalem, baptized by the Holy Spirit. They went out and shared their faith. They would go out. They would evangelize wherever they went. Their lives were transformed. They were saved. They weren't the same as they were before. Yes, they were devout religious Jews, but now they are Christians. Christians, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not by keeping the law, but by faith in the Son of God who loved them and gave himself for them, obtained through faith, not by keeping the law of Moses. Nobody can be saved by keeping the law of Moses. You cannot be saved by keeping God's commandments. Nobody can. If you could, there'd be no reason for Jesus to come. We were saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. After the law, we're talking about the law, the Ten Commandments was given to Moses. Shortly thereafter, you know what happened? 3,000 people died. Look it up for yourselves. 3,000 people died. Coincidentally, when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved and made alive. The letter of the law condemns. That's what it was given for, to bring about conviction of sin. Don't let people try to put you under the law. You cannot keep the commandments, but we can. When we have the Holy Spirit and he works through us, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We weren't saved through keeping the law or doing anything apart from believing the grace of God through faith. And then when you get saved, well, you've got to do this and then you've got to do that to be acceptable to God. No, you don't. You just have to believe by faith. And allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. But you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to do his will. But we're already acceptable in his sight. It's not that what we can do to please God. We already do. We already do please God. We've got things backwards. The letter of the law condemns. And it brings forth death and condemnation. But the grace of God brings forth life through Jesus Christ, the Lord. Let me close by quoting this verse, John chapter 1. I'll read 17 first, then I'll read 16 after. Got it backwards. For the law, the Ten Commandments, was given through Moses. But, thank God for but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now verse 16. And of his fullness we have all received. We're adopted. By his fullness we have all received. We've been baptized by the Holy Spirit when we were saved. And grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank God for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because none of us can keep the law of Moses. If we could, there'd be no reason for Jesus to come and die on a cross. Amen? That's a fact. So let's close in a word of prayer. So Lord, we are so thankful and we are grateful that we can remember this fateful day, this wonderful day, the beginning of the church of the living God. This happened over 2,000 years ago and it continues today, that you are adding to your church daily. And you said that the gates of hell should not prevail against it. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And it's being built, it will be built, until the very last person will receive you as their Savior. And nothing has taken you by surprise. Everything is already worked out in eternity. We just need to rest in that fact and not just try to do this and do that, but simply believe and confess our sins on a daily basis to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And then we'll do your will, not by trying to keep the commandments, because nobody can keep them. None. There was only one that could do that, and his name was Jesus. And I hope and pray those of you that are listening, wherever you are, you've heard the gospel today. You've heard it preached. You've heard it taught. Will you ask, will you believe by faith? And you're a sinner. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you're under condemnation, my friends. You're outside of Christ. You need to be born again, Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to enter into heaven, the kingdom of God, you must, Jesus said, be born again. And you can be, but only if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you, a sinner. He died and paid the price. He suffered and died in your place so you won't have to be punished. And unless you receive him, you will be punished because you're already condemned and you'll spend eternity separated from God in the flames of hell. So I urge you, that's how much Jesus loves you. That's how much God loves you. He was willing to send his son, who was without sin, to die for you personally. Will you receive him? Or will you continue to reject him? And that is your choice. And I hope that you call upon his name and you ask God to forgive you of your sins. And ask him to come into your heart so you can be born again. You can be saved. And when you do, Your life will be transformed. You'll have a peace you've never experienced in this world. You'll have a hope and a purpose and a reason for living in this world. You'll be guaranteed a home in heaven when you die. And share your faith with others and tell them what Jesus has done for you. And he did it all. He did it all. What more could he do? And we hope sincerely and pray that you'll do that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, thank you, and God bless each and every one of you today and every day.
Thank you again for tuning in. You can find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you find podcasts. We'd love for you to join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Massachusetts. If you have any questions or inquiries, please feel free to call the church at 413-624-8886. Hope to see you soon. God bless.